CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. TikTok, much in the news. The House of Representatives voting to jettison TikTok unless and until there is an investor or someone to come forward who is not associated with the People's Republic of China or Chinese nationals who might be linked to the People's Republic of China until the sale can be made complete and trustworthy. As I understand it, there's much more to this story. So Gordon and I are very pleased to welcome someone who has experience with TikTok and can help explain can explain to us what the threat is. I welcome Paul Dubrova, a biotech entrepreneur, a national security advisor. He's in Melbourne, Australia. The state is Victoria. And the need here we have immediately is to understand the threat. Paul, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. This is an app on an iPhone. What I know about it is that it pictures kittens crawling around and everybody thinks it's adorable. I also know that some time ago, I believe it was 21 or 22, India banned TikTok and India is doing just fine. So clearly it's not integral to an economy. What does it represent? What is the threat, Paul? Good day to you.
Well, look, I mean, the science and practice of persuasion has drastically improved in recent years. I mean, thanks in a large part to technology. And experts sort of look at the situation and, something like weaponized propaganda, something that can trigger wars, economic collapse, riots, protests, but it can also destroy the credibility of government institutions and it can turn a population against itself. And I think if you're looking at the issue of TikTok, you really have to sort of take a step back and change your perspective to think at how weaponized propaganda and artificial intelligence can actually make a big difference here. Because I think that the biggest risk with TikTok is AI-driven persuasion is hiding behind secret algorithms on social media platforms, right? So let's look at targets for this sort of persuasion, children, for example, right? You wouldn't be aware of anything amiss in the usual social barrage of social media content that children see, but you can have a hidden underlying artificial intelligence-driven persuasion, which is invisible, right? And this persuasion, say, for example, in the TikTok algorithm, it doesn't need to persuade a majority of the public to be effective. If only 1% of the population takes to the streets, for example, the disruption from persuasion can be immense. And the question is, how hard is it to motivate 1% of the public with a modern weaponized form of persuasion with an app like something like TikTok? And the answer is, actually, it's dangerously easy. And another question I have for you, if you want to look at this from a different perspective, is how hard is it to program children without their knowledge? And that's even easier. Now, you might be wondering if this sort of attack is behind what we're seeing today in the United States. Is political polarization the outcome of a successful persuasion attack? And another question that you need to sort of think about when you're looking at this issue, what we do know is that the potential gain for a foreign adversary in such an attack would be incalculable. The risk on their end would be trivial, and every part of the technology exists in AI, in apps, in smartphones. So under these conditions, you don't need to be an expert in anything to know that these sorts of persuasion attacks will become as common as hacking, if not already. And that's sort of the framework that you need to look at in terms of what can happen. So with artificial intelligence, with algorithms, with the addiction of smartphones, we already know that these sort of attacks are possible. Now, the thing is, though, these attacks would be invisible to us if delivered via a private company on social media platforms. So let's look at TikTok. TikTok, a private Chinese company. Technically, they say they're a US, but ByteDance is a Chinese company with 800 million users. What we can safely say is that TikTok is under the sway of the Chinese Communist Party. There's a national intelligence law from 2017, which directs that any organization and citizen shall support and cooperate in national intelligence works. right? So if the government, if the Chinese government decided to boost the signal of any popular message on TikTok, it would be trivially easy. Because if you're a Chinese national working for TikTok, under this 2007 national intelligence law, you have to do whatever the government tells you to do. So if you get a call from the Chinese propaganda ministry and you're told to boost the signal of a particular message on TikTok, yeah, that's easy. So let me give you an example of something that could happen, right? So for example, they could boost the signal of an otherwise small user calling for scientists to lose their employment if they believe that COVID-19 was the result of an accidental lab leak, right? So one small user could influence an army of teenagers to target particular people that the Chinese Communist Party wants to silence, right? And all we would know is that a prank or some sort of meme went viral. We wouldn't know why. And then once the content becomes popular on TikTok, which is a younger audience, it would soon spread to Snapchat and enter a mixed audience, and from there onto all platforms like YouTube, Instagram, and things like that. So TikTok, because it's able to influence the algorithm that children see, can target a small percentage of their users that they already have psychological profiles for in order to get a particular political message or a particular meme to go viral. Gordon, so in terms of summarizing that, that's probably the way I'd look at the situation.
Thank you. So what we're talking about here is something that's somewhere between civilian and military action, somewhere between a tool and a weapon. Gordon, you have a question for Paul.
Paul, you described what could happen, but we also know what has happened. So, for instance, China has used TikTok to spread Russian disinformation shortly after the invasion of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. We are seeing a disproportionate amount of pro-Hamas videos on TikTok. There have been, in terms of social issues, TikTok has been used to spread idealization of suicide, self-harm, promotion of illegal drugs. So this is not just a question of things that could happen. This is a question of things that have already happened.
Yep. But the thing is, if we take a step back, what you need to realize is that a communist country is very different to a Western country. So in China, the most important government department is the propaganda ministry. So you've got about 15 million people working full time in the Chinese propaganda ministry, and their job literally is to spread the religion of communism to Chinese people and to the world. Their second job is to control the Chinese population and try to control messaging around the world so that they do what the Chinese Communist Party wants them to do. And I mean, just look at the facts. The second in charge of China is the propaganda minister. He's the best friend of Xi. He's been with Xi since the beginning. They have the highest economic priority in the country. So they have they literally get the first pick in terms of an unlimited budget. They have a higher priority than the nuclear weapons program or the biological weapons program. The way a communist country sees propaganda is that propaganda is the key to communism, and it's the key to spreading the message of communism. It's also the key to centralizing the country and making everybody within the country move in the same direction. And so for them, if they're trying to compete with the United States, their idea is to use the same tactics that they're using against the Chinese population to use against the US population. And so take something like TikTok or the Chinese version of TikTok. They have supercomputers that the Chinese military runs. Remember, they have the highest economic priority in the country, which means they have an unlimited budget. They have unlimited computing for what they need. They have cognitive profiles of every single user of TikTok or the Chinese TikTok version in China. They're able to run simulations on these cognitive profiles to find out who's vulnerable to messaging, what type of messaging would influence these people, what would happen if we implemented this type of messaging on people. So, for example, in China, they're able to predict, is someone going to be pro the Communist Party? Should we put them on the track to become full communists? Or are they going to become dissidents? So should we watch them in the future So should we watch this 12-year-old so that in the future, when they become a dissonance, we're able to predict their behavior? Well, with TikTok, they've done exactly the same thing with the American population. They have cognitive profiles of all the American and foreign users of TikTok, and they're able to run simulations on these users to find out who is vulnerable. So just imagine, you're Wang Huang, you're the Chinese propaganda minister. Your job is to destabilize the United States. What do? You do exactly the same thing that you're doing in China. In China, you are trying to stabilize China. So the Chinese algorithm finds people that might not become communists, and it then changes the algorithm of that individual so that they're more prone to become engineers, scientists. They want to become members of the Communist Party. So they're able to change and slowly shift someone's psychology over a period of time. What do they do in the US? The exact opposite. So you try to amplify that 1% of people that use TikTok that are vulnerable, you amplify those users in order to get them to do things that are detrimental to the cohesion of the country, detrimental to the US economy. So all these small things that you're talking about, Gordon, if you put that into the big picture, what you have is a Chinese propaganda ministry, which is pretty much the most important aspect of the Chinese Communist Party. And their raison d'etre is to manipulate the population to either embrace communism as a religion, or in this case here, manipulating the US population to embrace communism and communist ideas, and obviously, you know, embrace the Russian war against Ukraine, embrace what's going on with Hamas, embrace all these things. But if you look at it from a main perspective, the Chinese Communist Party is doing exactly the same thing that the Chinese Communist Party does with its own population, but with the US population, because we've allowed them to have access to the smartphones of our children. And the best example I'd give you, and this is the question that I'd ask anybody that has given their children TikTok on their phone, if the Nazis developed a smartphone app that Joseph Goebbels insisted was only entertainment, but in Nazi Germany, that app was used to get German children to want to become members of the SS, become Nazis, and get rid of their political opponents. Would you trust Joseph Goebbels, or would you trust an American surrogate of Joseph Goebbels to say that this app is completely safe for your children?
We're speaking with Paul Dubrova. He is in Melbourne, Victoria State, Australia. He's a biotech entrepreneur and a national security advisor. He's now identified the problem. And when we come back, what is to be done? Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.